Look, I want to share with you for a few moments. And Mark 16 is, or actually Matthew 16 is where I want to share from. You know, we're coming up to Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, and the crucifixion, the resurrection. Last year, I was finishing 2 months of ministry in Europe and had the opportunity to go to Israel for 10 days. And Kim and I have been there years ago on a tour, but this was more a ministry trip. A good friend of ours is the second in command, if you will, of the prayer center in Jerusalem that overlooks the Mount of Olives and that area. And so I got to be over there and visit the Garden Tomb and just the various things. And it makes it come alive, this reality of the Easter story. But we know this, that when Jesus descended into the depths of hell, he took back the authority. Scripture phrases it as this: he took the keys of death and of hell. And we understand that as Jesus took that authority that was given to mankind in the garden, that man relinquished to Satan when Adam and Eve fell, Jesus took that authority back in the form of keys. And in Matthew 16, Jesus said, "I give you the keys." Speaking to you and I, the people of God, the church of Jesus Christ. And these are keys to unlock, unlock the blessing of God, the presence of God, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. The keys to lock out the incursion of the enemy and the plans of the enemy into our lives. And so I want to look just for a few moments at what it means to be a people of the kingdom of God, a people that release the blessing of God, the kingdom of God, the glory of God, the presence of God in the streets around us. One of the songs that we were singing tonight talked about dancing in the streets and the joy of the Lord. I know that you are on this, the 36th day of this 40-day fast, seeking God for the city. If I understand right from what Pastor Tim said, today's prayer focus and verses are about being a blessing to your enemies. How many of you know the greatest blessing we can be to the enemies of the cross is by walking in and releasing the fullness of Jesus Christ? The greatest blessing is not just a word of encouragement or a handout or a meal, though God will use those things. It is walking in and bringing the presence of the King everywhere that we go. And so I believe that God is wanting to bring us into a place of understanding what it means to be a people of the kingdom of God. The kingdom, the Bible says, is righteousness, peace, and joy. Guys, we live in a nation that is in a famine of righteousness. We have people that will look at outward things, but we know this, that righteousness is not just outward acts done right. Righteousness is the presence of Jesus living in and through our lives, as well as in and through society. See, Jesus said that all authority has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. We need to bring a reality of the kingdom of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that society will begin to serve God, not because it is mandated by law. I've noticed this, that in Christian culture in America, we want society to adopt kingdom culture, kingdom rules, biblical understanding before they've ever met Christ. And my understanding of the definition of a sinner is they sin. We cannot legislate a heart change. Yes, there is legislation that protects morality. We know that sin is a reproach to any people, but righteousness will exalt a nation. We understand that. But it's got to be a heart change, and that heart change has got to start in the church. You and I know this, that every sin that is named out in society, out in the world, also exists in the body of Christ and in the church. But it is not just a matter of sins that are committed, because it's not our act of sin that sends somebody to hell. It is a heart separated from God by sin that has not come by virtue of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what we understand is that righteousness, the kingdom of God in righteousness, to bless the city, to bless the region where we are, has got to start in our hearts. But it's also peace. It's also joy. And I believe that God wants to bless culture around us by bringing the fullness of his kingdom within us. Now, one of the things that has always stirred my heart throughout my walk with God has been the story of Elijah. I don't know about you. I'd love to see God raise up some men and women with the backbone and the audacity and the authority of somebody like Elijah. Somebody has the guts, the spiritual guts, to look at a leader of a nation and say, you serve idols, not political correctness, but you serve a false god and you're leading the people in serving false gods. And then we know the story of Mount Carmel. Elijah had the audacity to make fun of those serving other gods. How many of you know that doesn't fly in America today? Everything's got to be politically correct. But Elijah said, you know, shout louder, maybe your God's on vacation. Anybody remember the Living Bible from back several years ago? In there, and I'm not sure how scripturally correct this is, but in the Living Bible, Elijah says, shout louder, maybe your God's sitting on the toilet. What would happen if ISIS heard us say that about Allah? You see, we are so concerned with offending people that we offend God. But Elijah had the audacity, the authority, the power, because he wanted to affect the city, the nation. It's truth that sets free. We know the story, then the fire of God fell. It was not a fire of judgment. It was a fire of demonstration. Please understand, the fire of God in my belief system within today's dispensation, if you want to call it that, is not a fire to destroy and judge. It's a fire to show the acceptance of the sacrifice. I don't think God's looking at me or you personally waiting for us to make a mistake so he can fry us on the ground, is he? I don't think God's looking at America like that either. I don't think God's waiting for America to commit the final sin so he can throw us on the ground. I believe in sowing and reaping. And we as a nation have sown to sin, and we're going to reap from that if we're not careful and have been. But I believe God's looking for a chance to bless. He's looking for a chance to bless the peninsula and the south side, Hampton Roads area. But to bless, there's got to be a change. Because God cannot bless sin. And so Elijah, pray, God, answer by fire. The way I pray it is this: God, let there be a visible, physical manifestation of your power and your glory and your kingdom. I don't know about you. I am so tired and fed up with all the vague, spiritualized talk that we use in church. Oh, don't you feel the presence of God? Do you ever, when a preacher says that, do you ever want to stand up and say, no, I don't? It's going to take more than some feel-good emotion of charismania, Christianity, to convince a world that doesn't believe in our God that he's here. It's going to take an outward demonstration that is provable. And so we're saying, God, let that kind of fire come. But see, there's a story in Scripture about a man who came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. See, Malachi 4 prophesies before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, God's going to send Elijah, the prophet. And John the Baptist, Jesus said, came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He had that anointing. And it says, Jesus said about John, he said, what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yeah. He said, but even more than a prophet. One of my spiritual sons, 25-year-old African-American young man, been with me for 6 years or so now, traveled in several places of the nation and the world with me. He was reading that one time. And he said, God, what does that mean, more than a prophet? And here's what the Lord said to him. He said, prophets announce what is coming. More than a prophet brings Jesus right into the scene. You see, we can get very impressed with giftings. Somebody has a prophecy. They tell us details about our life, and we can stand in awe of the gifting. But see, in the Bible I read, God spoke through a donkey. So the way my way of putting it is this. If God speaks through you, it's because you're the closest donkey around. God using us, the anointing that Tim is preaching on has many aspects. But the anointing or gifting, as far as the gifts of God on our life, are not because we earn them. They're without repentance. God anoints us not because he approves of us in that the gifting of the anointing. There's other, again, expressions of the anointing. But because he loves them. Because he wants to touch them and minister to them. And so John the Baptist, he didn't just announce what was coming. He said, and here he is. See, we've got to be more than a prophetic people. We've got to do more than take a word out there. Guys, I mean, you listen to prophets right now in America, and man, you'd think Hillary was the one, or Bernie was the one, or Trump was the one, or Cruz was the one. How many of you know It gets confusing to try to listen to prophets today. There's got to be something that goes beyond just a nice word. I don't know about you guys. I've got so many prophecies over my life, it would take me five lifetimes to fulfill them. Sometimes I don't need another prophecy. What I need is a kick in the pants to get moving, or at least some wisdom to know what to do with it. John, more than a prophet. But what did John say as a forerunner? He said this, his message, Matthew 3:2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I love the way the G. Campbell Morgan translation puts it. It says, change your attitudes and actions. See, repentance. I grew up, Kim's fourth generation Assembly of God. I was a mutt, Baptist church with a brother, Catholic charismatic, street preacher, and then came to the Pentecost stuff. But see, here's what I've had. In Pentecostal tradition, repentance meant a bunch of snot rags around an altar. I can cry with the best of you. Kim is going to put on one of the chick flicks. You know, chick flicks. 55 minutes of sad and finally something good happens at the end. They'll put on their chick flick and I'll do, oh, I don't want to watch that. 5 minutes later, I'm, I can cry without changing. It's not about outward response, emotion. It may come with emotion, it may not. But repentance is change. And yes, we can give the laundry list of sins of the world, flesh, devil that we shouldn't be involved in, but I believe the church in America needs to repent for how we do church. Because we made an audience, not an army. God has not called those of us in fivefold ministry to be, you know, at the pinnacle and the performers so you get impressed with us. Our job is to equip you. The people in Virginia Beach, Chesapeake are not going to come hear me preach in droves, but you are in their lives on a regular basis. So it's going to take more than a good preacher. It's going to take the body of Christ arising with the power and the heart of Jesus inside of them and being expressed. And so change the way we do church from an audience to an army, motivated by the love of God. Back several years ago, we were part of a church for 10 years, part of what was called Apostolic Team, a church in Hampton called Bethel Temple. And one worship service, I remember I saw a beautiful vision. And I looked and there was a beautiful bride. And I saw the wedding headdress and the veil and the beautiful dress. But when I looked at her feet, I was expecting the kind of shoes Kim wore on our wedding day 32 years ago, you know, white lace pumps and pearls and everything. But instead, she had on big, clunky, muddy combat boots. And the Lord said, this is my church. She's a bride with combat boots. Passionately in love with Jesus and passionately releasing his love to the world, but marching out to battle. Guys, we got to change. That's what repentance is. And then that G. Campbell Morgan translation of Matthew 3, instead of the kingdom is at hand, it says, for an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. Guys, you want to see the Holy Spirit invade your city? What's it going to take? Guys, for years, we've been part of the prayer movement, the prophetic movement in this area, and we've gone to and been with all these groups. So go to Hampton and, you know, the shores of Hampton and repent for what we did to the Native Americans or repent for what we did to the African Americans. I've been, you know, with them to Jamestown and Williamsburg and the first landing in Virginia Beach, and we pray and we prophesy and we ring bells and we bang drums and we do all of it. And I have no problem with it. But my question is this, how many times do we have to repent before something changes? How many times do we ring a bell and bang a drum until something measurable happens? I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm saying let's have a wake-up call. Something has got to change. And my belief is this, we're waiting on God to do something he expects us to do. God gave his word. He gave his son. He gave his spirit. What more does God have to do? He's waiting on you and I to stir up. I love that. What was it? Travis, was that the gentleman? He said, we've got to press in beyond where we've been. He's waiting. God's waiting for you and I to press in to the kingdom of God. Look, we could take forever and look at all different aspects of this. But as I look at the early church, it says these that have come here have turned the world upside down. My brothers and sisters, we don't just need more churches, so thank God for them. We need people that will go into society and live like Jesus. That we're not just going to announce biblical principles. We're not just going to prophesy about who's going to win an election and blame our politics on God. We're going to actually walk in the Spirit. We're going to love as Jesus loved. We're going to move as Jesus moved. We're going to operate in the power. What did Jesus say? He said, if you believe in my name, even greater works you will do. I don't even comprehend that. Jesus walked on water. He walked through walls. He spoke to demons and didn't have to get their names and spend 5 hours trying to figure out where they all came from. He got rid of them. I'm not against the patterns we've had to use so far, but I believe much of it is for a lack of the authority that Jesus walked in our lives. Jesus needed to pay taxes. I got to do taxes before I leave for Europe in 3.5 weeks. And needed to pay taxes. Guess what anointing he had? They went fishing. Got money of a fish's mouth. How many of you want anointing like that? The kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. But what do we do? Let me close with this thought. I think it was Jesus speaking about John. He said this, the kingdom of heaven, the rule of God, the government of God, the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Lord is under attack, is suffering violence. Guys, what we see, be it terrorism, be it political infighting, whatever it is, these are only manifestations of the deeper battle. And that is the battle of Satan against the kingdom of God in and evidenced through our lives. But that scripture goes on to say the violent will take the kingdom by force. I don't need to reiterate, I don't think, that we're not talking about physical violence, are we? No. We're talking about violent in the spirit. The weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but the mighty through God, the pulling down strongholds. And somewhere, we've got to do what Travis encouraged us to do. We've got to press in. We've got to be willing to not be satisfied with where we are and what we've seen. Look, it's awesome to pray and to fast and do all those other things. I believe in that fully. I believe in, you know, tearing down strongholds and all these other things. But guys, when it comes down to it, it's not how many meals you miss. It's what you live like out there. Please don't hear that the wrong way. I believe in fasting. I've been fasting myself this month in various ways. But what I, as I'm not against that at all. I'm not diminishing that at all. I'm saying we can fall, shake, laugh, get a prophecy, storm the gates of hell and heaven, but until it changes the way we live out there and we love, we see God's purpose in somebody's life and we begin to speak like that example that Kim gave. We've got to believe for God's kingdom to invade society. If you want to pray for your city, what is, again, pray for, what praying for, seek God for the city. I believe this. God is bringing city transformation. I believe he's offering it to city after city after city all over this nation and all around the world. Kim and I have been to every continent on earth except Antarctica. And I see it everywhere I go. Cities are being offered the opportunity to know the blessing of righteousness and peace and joy. But you and I are the ambassadors. You and I are the front line. We are the bride with combat boots.